Why is the sound? I was sharing with the congregation just then that how difficult it is sometimes when you open your eyes and actually expecting God to be there and expecting God to move in a great way, that you just sometimes that there's nothing there. And it's no reflection on us as people, but the message this morning, I just want to give encouragement to people that from Hebrews 13 and 5, that God says, I will never leave or forsake you. Those words are spoken by Jesus to say that he will be there, that he's not going to leave us. But it is difficult. You see, in this God-forsaken world, it could be sometimes difficult when we do look around us and we look around. Well, where are you, God? You know, are you working? Where are the things that you said that would happen? But it's difficult to acknowledge that God still works amongst his people. And the challenge for us as Christians today is to keep believing that God has not left us. That he is here, that he's here amongst us this morning even, and we'll come across the scripture in a minute that will confirm that. That he's here in your life, that he's working in your life, regardless at times that you may feel that he's not. When we look at our Bible, that we see that time and time again God broke through on people's lives and that he was there, and we see him doing great things for people, don't we, when we read our Bible. You see, sir, if it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, we can stand upon the promises of God. We can look at lives of old. We can look at how God broke through for people. And just because we're living in 2017 in a different culture with a different set of rules and regulations that are governing us, and sometimes the way that we live, and it's not always the way that we would want to be, but we can open our eyes, and that we can see through eyes of faith maybe this morning that God has never left us or forsaken us. And that's a wonderful promise. It's worth looking, I think, this morning, just at that one word that says, I will not forsake you. Because it can mean a lot of different things. It means to leave behind. It means to desert or abandon. To leave helpless. That just got me thinking on that point then, to leave help. Sometimes I feel helpless. Sometimes you feel hopeless. But I know that I should be hopeful. And I know I'm not useless. I know that for one thing this morning. And it just got me thinking, it's like a newborn baby being dumped on the world's doorstep. But it wouldn't happen. I saw Dolly over there earlier on. I wonder if I could just borrow that. I better not borrow James. I don't trust myself. But I could borrow that, especially as he's feeding. Yeah, better not borrow it. But Esther, can I borrow your dolly a minute, please? Yeah, it's fine. You wouldn't even comprehend, would you, of abandoning a little baby? Yeah, you know the cruelty of this world is that happens. And that's really sad. And God speaks about it. I couldn't find the scripture, but he speaks about it. And he said, well, what do you think of me? You think that I would abandon a baby? I'm not like that. I wouldn't do such a thing. And then it made me think about this little bundle of joy that has come into different lives recently. There's quite a lot of newborn babies in our own family, in the families here. And you just can't comprehend that the parents would ever even think of abandoning a child. Yet it happens. And the difference is, you see, that it's not always a nice thing to talk about, but you see, it's like a planned birth, where the man and the woman come together as husband and wife, and we live under God's, and they come together, and they plan to have a baby. However long it takes, it doesn't matter, but this little bundle of joy comes into their life because they planned it. You see, when they sit down and talk about it, and they plan their family, and they're going to have a child, and how they're going to look after it, and things. I know Craig has shared it with me about, and he plans the years ahead of when she's going to school, Esther going to school, and doing this, and doing that. It's all planning and planning and planning. You see, those parents would never even dream of having in that plan any concept of ever abandoning that child, or leaving it on its own. The problem is, it's when that child comes along and it's not planned, then it becomes unwanted. Well, you have so many births that are given up for adoption, or so many births, is quite it's in the press, isn't it, with the cost of the morning after pill. Is that the one that we've been on about Boots were not prepared to drop their prices? And everybody else was. But it's just something that is not planned and given away, either for adoption or sadly to say that a child is aborted because it's not wanted. I want to tell you this morning, you never will be an unwanted child of God. You never were not planned. You were planned from the very beginning. And no one's going to come along from the time that you were born again and come along. The world will try to give you a morning after pill. But the way it wants to destroy you and wreck your life and to stop you from living. But this promise of God this morning, and the one that we stand on, is He said, I will never ever abandon you. And I want you to know that this morning. I want you to know it so that you're so assured in your heart that you'll never stray from it. That you'll never open up your eyes and just see blackness. You'll never open up your eyes and see nothing. You will open up your eyes and you'll see me in faith that I've always been there for you. Stood right next to you through the ups and downs of your life. Sharing the good times, the bad times. And all through. Because He says, I will never... I can bring you back now, Dolly. I can give you back to your rightful owner. Because Esther will never, ever abandon you or leave you. You didn't even know she was gone, did you? Bless you. We may feel like that sometimes. God, where are you? You promised you'd do this in my life. You promised you'd move in this area of my family, of my friends. You promised you'd build your church. It's there in the Bible. Where are you? Where are you? God, have you stopped caring for us? Do we no longer matter to you? How easy it is to fall into that mindset of thinking this morning, where nothing could be further from the truth. You see, we may think or feel that way, but the truth is in this scripture, and it should assure us this morning, it should assure us differently. But those things that echo the fact that we think they'll maybe feel like that way, they're just lies of the enemy. They're just lies of the enemy come to distort our way. And you see, I mentioned the word feeling because that's just what it is. It's just a feeling from which we should not respond. We're not told, we're encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight, not by reacting to feelings, but just to trust God. Not to make any rash judgments about God based on our feelings, as so many people do. Feelings would be foolish, and it's not what Christians are encouraged to do. But you know, we're human, and God knows that. And He knows that we're going to feel the way that we could feel, the way that perhaps I'm sharing with you this morning, is perhaps the way that I've been feeling quite recently and sometimes. And I'm not isolated in that. When I look around us this morning, I know that we probably all at one time felt that way. But let's not build our life and our hope upon feelings, but build our hope and our life upon Christ Jesus and the assurances through faith that God is God. And whatever He says will happen. God understands how we feel, and although he doesn't, I don't think He bows or pampers to our whims and our feelings. He's not going to do that. He understands them enough to make provision through His precious word for us to overcome them. So that through the preaching and the teaching of the word, we get reassurances. We get reassurances when we stand in the pulpit and we hear from the preacher that, you know, God loves you this morning. Why would He do some of those things that we suggested here this morning and abandon you or leave you? But He wouldn't do that. And through our feelings towards the truth that we receive the word of God. And in Psalm 27, 9, 10, there's an example of that this morning. Through 27, 9 and 10. David speaking. And he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. David, when he was writing this, felt abandoned. He felt like we've explained this morning. Open your eyes and God. God, where are you? Don't leave me. Don't leave me here. Don't hide your face from me. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you working in my life. Don't hide your face from your servant in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. It becomes a prayer, doesn't it? Crying out to God, oh God, don't leave me. When we know in reality he's never left you. So where is it? It's just the way we feel at that moment. But the prayer breaks through to reality and it breaks through to the truth of God, because when we pray like this with an open and contrite heart, God will answer. God will break through. If we just stay silent or rebellious, nothing will happen. We will be like wood, no feeling, hard-hearted and cold. But it doesn't mean to say that David was a man who was constantly in difficulty. He felt abandoned, but knew that God was only a prayer away. And as David addresses his feelings, he speaks past them in faith, in prayer, and cries out to God, "Show me again, Lord! Show me again that you've always been there for me." And countless time and time and time and time after time after time, I stand in situations and be, "Lord, you've never let me down. I can't honestly say that you've ever let me down." But it doesn't stop me feeling like this at the moment. I just want a little bit of reassurance. I want you perhaps to just nestle up to the side of me and just hold my hand and walk with me and say, "Come on, we can do this. Remember the last time? Remember the last time you felt like this? Well, I'm going to do it again. I may not do it in the same way, because God never works in the same way. He always breaks in and surprises us and blesses us abundantly. But the main thing is, he doesn't leave us or abandon us. He's not about to chuck us out. And I know I've spoken this before about Super Ted. He's not about to cast you off like a piece of rubbish. Because we're not. Because we are planned. From the very beginning of the time, God knew the day that you would give your heart to him. And from that moment on, through believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he makes that promise to you that he will never leave you or forsake you. David Sukluk, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me out. When those around me, when I put my trust in those around me and things around me, temporal things of this world, when I've relied on them, look, they've left me and they've abandoned me, Lord. Look what's happened. And he goes, "Well, I did tell you so. I did warn you, perhaps. Now will you turn to me?" This message is quite a strong theme of repentance towards God and leaving our old ways behind, which we'll see as we move through the passages of Scripture this morning. You see, in Hebrews 13 and 8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." We serve an awesome God, and I'm so glad that God is faithful and not temperamental like us. Not, "I just don't feel like it today, you're on your own." Come on, how many times have we not done something that we know that we should do just because we just don't feel like doing it? All based on feelings. If only we could overcome that. Overcome everything that we do, which is, can be based on feelings, and to be assured through God. Come on. It's through assurances of faith that God will lead us and guide us. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Hallelujah. That we may know and be assured of the response that we could get from God like David did. You see, David knew, and he had a relationship with God to know, okay, I'm in a bit of a pickle here, Lord. And I need to cry out to you. And I'm going to come to you in prayer and supplication. But I know I'm going to get an answer. You are the only one that can give me the answer. Hallelujah. And a proof that God has not forsaken us. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. Some familiar scriptures this morning, but ones that have just spoken to me as I've been penning the message together for this morning. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in God." David gets a reply, and so will we when we wait patiently upon the Lord. What do you like at waiting? Are you very patient? It's one thing that working for the police has taught me to be, is to wait patiently and expect nothing to happen. You know, especially when you're on... Well, no, it does. Now, and I only do this as an example now this morning, because you could be put on... And I know Michael will bear me out on this. You get put on cordon duty, and you just stand there, because that's all you've been tasked to do. And you really don't expect anything to happen. Yet for hour after hour, hour after hour, especially when you don't get relieved to go to the bathroom or whatever, or a lunch break, you're there, you could be there for huge length of time, and I don't expect anything to happen during that time. You know, I don't think, ooh, I wonder if something's going to jump out here, or someone's going to try and crash through this cordon now and try to go here. You don't expect anything to happen. You just wait there, patient. Well, that's not what this scripture says. That's not what this means. You know, when you're waiting patiently for the Lord, just twiddle your thumbs, because you know you could be waiting forever, because He might not come. This word means this in an expectant hope of knowing that God is going to do something. And it doesn't matter whether it's right there. He doesn't dance to our tune. He'll do it when He thinks fit, at the right time, in the right way. But I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear to me. God hears the cries of the righteous this morning, the righteousness through Jesus Christ His Son. And He brought me up out of that horrible place, that stinking slimy pit where I've been trying to get out of for so long, and every time I do, I go, slimy pit, horrible pit. Every time I try to grab onto the side, then I slip back down again, just like a spider trying to get out of the bath. That's the only superhero I resemble, because I too have trouble getting out of the bath. Spider-Man. Sorry about that, I diverse. He's a set me upon the rock. Hallelujah. A firm foundation of assurance and faith to know that there is a God that loves us this morning, that has never abandoned us or left us. And He's put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's no longer, God, where are you? Even if I could put it to a tune, God, where are you? God, where are you? Lord, you save to the uttermost. Lord, you answer my heart cry this morning, and you set me upon that place where you intended me to be. I don't care. He's not interested in how you got there. Isn't that great about you? It's like, well, you dug your own hole. You fall into it, you get out yourself. I hear you this morning. Saint of God, I hear you crying out from this little chapel in Moriah Christian Fellowship on Bedloin Road. I see your heart, I know it. Cry out to me, because I'm inclining my ear right now. And God has awesome hearing this morning. To hear the cries of His people. Take me out of that place. I don't even know how I got you. There was no directions, there was no signs, because if there was, I surely wouldn't have followed them. Yes, you probably would have. Yes. I expect God to answer me. I expect God. I wait expectantly for God to do a great and wonderful work. That's assurance by faith. That's assurance that He's never left or abandoned me. The big question is, can we believe in a God that makes such an amazing promise? Do you want to believe in that God this morning? Do you want to believe in that God that makes that promise to you? It says that, look, everything else that you put your trust in has left you and forsaken you. It's not proved anything in your life. But if you put your trust in me this morning, you see, because that's what's happening in the world. We need to get this message to people who are putting all their trust in people, in things of the world, and being forsaken and left and abandoned. There's a lot of hurt and lonely people that you may have experienced some of these feelings that I've shared with you this morning on a little bit. Let me tell you, there's a world full of people who are going through that every day. It must be horrible for them. They're in this pit and they can't get out. How do we get them out? You may go there and you may say, well, come on, friend, I'll give you a hand. Here's my hand. Here's the hand of Jesus. Let me help you and pull them out. Great news if you can do that. Oh Lord, we need this nation to turn to you again and cry out, where are you? Where are you, Lord? And he will answer, I am here. Turn. Face me. I am here. And then Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered, serving in my name, to gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And just that word over two scriptures that I want to have a look in, the New Testament and the Old Testament, that word midst means in the middle. The very middle, the very center of your life that Jesus says that he is. In the very center of the church. Is Jesus not Christ, not the focus and the center of this church in Ustramanna? Because if it is, I'm sorry, I've been preaching. If it isn't, I mean, it's the wrong word I've been preaching. We preach Christ crucified for forgiveness of sins. We preach the name of Jesus. We sing about the name of Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our God. Everything we do is about Jesus. Everything that comes out of this church is about Jesus Christ our Lord. He is in the center. He is in the midst of his people. Right now he's here in his presence, by his Holy Spirit, moving and touching hearts, and in a way that only he knows how to, as you receive this word this morning. To be in the center of your thoughts. I want to push you out of my thoughts this morning, Lord, because no. The center of your feelings and emotions. The center of your fears. Your doubts. And your anxieties. Amen. I could just wrap all these up this morning and bundle them up and say, all these things belong to me. And Lord, you are there in all my anxieties. You are there. You are there and also in my joy. I don't want you to think this morning and I'm going through a tough time and I'm not experiencing any of that. I experience the whole range, the whole spectrum of emotions in my life, probably on a daily basis, and so do you. It's not just God being in the midst of when we're in the piggies. He wants to be in the midst of when we're having a rejoicing time and being joyful, celebrating with our families and celebrating and doing great things. In your joy, in your successes. To involve him. It's about involving Jesus and allowing Jesus to be in the midst of us, to be in the center, to be in the very core of our being. And it's described even in even more depth in Joel 2:27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. A prophetic word spoken by the prophet Joel to Israel. And that word midst there is in the Old Testament, but it's similar. It means the heart and the most inward parts, but it gets a bit more intimate and a bit more... It's spoken about and described as the very bowels, the very inward parts. You cannot get any closer or any intimate. And God says, and you shall know. You shall know. Someone asked me recently, it was when we were away on the weekend, how did I know that the Bible was true? I said, well, because I trust in the one who wrote it. And so the one who writes this becomes my source of all knowledge, of all assurance, of all wisdom, of everything. And it was written by different men. How do you know that it, how do you know that it's right and it's not changed since then? It's very difficult to explain to that person, but he's become my oracle, he's become my Google. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. So when you're faced with that argument, you say, well, how do you know it's from God? Well, it's because it says in the Word of God that it's from God. But it might not be. It was written so long ago. And you see, your arguments and all basis of faith and everything that is all there. It's not, well, I think that I might have made a mistake on that particular part. Or, I got my own thoughts on that bit. Because when that happens, you veer off the Word of God. You start setting up your own doctrines and religions, which is what has happened over the years with different prophets and different faiths and different things, different denominations. Well, I can believe that bit, but I can't believe the other bit. You see, it's more than just being told something. You have to know it. And I know that the Word of God is true because God has proved it to me in my life. So when the Word says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and people say, well, how do you know? You mustn't feel it. Well, no. Because I believe it is the Word of God, and I believe He can't lie. And because more than anything, He's proved it to me. So how can I disregard it? How can I not believe it? Because I'm just going through a difficult situation. Because of my feelings right at the moment. It's more than just being told, and more than it's having that first-hand experience of it. And you shall know, that word know there means to be assuredly aware of it, to discover. Oh, isn't it great when you discover how good God is? When you discover maybe for the first time, or you discover for the second time. You say, I don't think it loses any impact, whether it's the first, second, third, fourth, or trillionth time, or if you are possible, in when we go to be in glory, we can speak of trillion. In numbers and million numbers, because that's how many times God will be good to us. We can't do it in time because He can't do it enough in our 70 whatever years that we got on this earth. But if we go back and start to count them, I bet you it's more than once or twice a day, and you can work out how long you've lived or how long you've known Jesus and how many times that He's done something wonderful and you've discovered something. The freshness and newness of God today. Hallelujah. As in a revelation. Maybe for the first time, or not, I don't know. In the context of the scripture that we've just written in Joel, the prophetic book speaks about, is a book about judgment and repentance. In the first chapter, it speaks about the nation of people being stripped by natural things, because it speaks of locusts coming in and devouring the land and stripping everything. The prophet Joel is speaking of conditional promises, because in the book of Joel, he says that he promises the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as in the day of Pentecost. He promises healing and restoration of abundance. But also, it's only to those who repent. You know, if we don't repent, why should we claim a promise? If we're non-believers today, or we're not believing on the Word of God, why should we expect God to be there and do this for us? That's foolish. That's not what's going to happen. That's what the world's ways of thinking is. But the prophet spoke about a day of judgment to come. In Joel 2:10-13, it says, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is very strong that executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? You can't abide it. You can't miss it. You can't survive the day of judgment. And that's what the book this was being written here. The prophet was saying, look, just as I've described to you poetically how the natural things have been stripped away from you, then so will the enemy come away and strip away from your lives if you do not do something about it. It's like a wake-up call. And so is the day of judgment. It's the way it describes it. It says, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars, you know, it's no good opening up your eyes at that time and expecting to see the Lord there. It's too late. It's gone. And we can't avoid the judgment that is to come. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong and executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? You can't survive the day of judgment. There is no way that anybody upon this earth can avoid the day of judgment that is to come. When God returns to take his church home, and we all said, there's spoken about it, that we all stand before him one day and will be judged for everything that we do. But don't let me leave it there. For goodness sake, there would be nothing of hope for any of us, because that's not what happens. God will always make a way where there seems to be no way. A way of repentance clearly seen here in this passage that gives the believers hope beyond the judgment. In verse 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even unto me with all your heart, and with your fastings, and with your weeping and your mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, who repents him of evil." A message of repentance. You see, if we decide and make that choice in our heart today to turn towards God, then we own that promise. That promise belongs to us. That God says, "I would never leave you or forsake you." If we've not done that, if for some reason that we have pride or stubbornness in our heart that is stopping us from maybe, "Well, I want that promise. And my life is difficult at the moment, but I just can't get over some things, and I can't face you, I can't turn to you, I can't repent of you," then don't expect to receive the promise. It's as simple as that. Why would you expect to receive it? That's foolish. It's for those who repent, because regardless of what happens, you're not going to avoid the judgment to come. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin are death. Judgment will come upon this earth. And we need to make sure we're in the right place. We need to make sure that we're facing God, that we're trusting in God. Hebrews 9, where are we? Hebrews 9, 27, 28. And we just come across this, we were studying yesterday. First part of it, as you've heard before, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It's coming. You can't avoid it. Man cannot avoid it. But listen, "So Christ was once offered," here's the gospel, "to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him." But look for him. Are you looking for Jesus? In your deepest, darkest, and trouble and troublesome times, have you looked away from everything you've relied upon before, repented and got on your knees and turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, I am looking for you"? Because when you do, he shall appear a second time without sin until salvation. You've been acquitted. Hallelujah. You standing, for sinners shall not... Psalm 1, sorry, I've got to get this. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." No, I'm going to have to turn to it. It's Psalm 1, verse 6 or 5, I think. The ungodly shall not stand in judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Ungodly shall not stand. The ungodly shall fall when the judgment comes. You don't want to fall. And to make sure you don't today, we need to make decisions in our lives. I might be preaching to the converted before, but I don't know where your heart is. I don't know where you are this morning. And it's a call for every Christian to repent on their knees and turn towards God on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And then embrace that passage of scripture this morning and say, "Lord, you're there for me. You're there for me." Don't just live our lives as we would in the world and expect when we cry out to God for God to be there, because it's not going to happen. Why would he? That's like an insult. That puts the naught, the cross in everything. A life dedicated to the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got plans for you. I've got plans for you. I'm going to be there when you fall over the first time and you bump your knees. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to put some salve on it, and I'm going to make it better. I'm going to pick you up in my arms. I'm going to wrap my arms of love around you, and I'm going to kiss you and love you and comfort you. And you're going to know that I'm never ever going to leave or forsake you. Whatever the situation that you find yourself in this morning. You see, we've got to go past just feelings, but to know that there is a God, there is a Savior. You know, and when we have that discovery of the revelation, when I first had that revelation of the cross, but then so easily worldly ways and routines and patterns of life can come in and can harden us to the revelation of the cross. And then we look at it again this morning. And then we read the word that we've been doing and sharing the word today. And we can just be reminded of the cross and what the cross has done. So many scriptures. There's so many scriptures that speak of that judgment. You see, on that day, there'll be no doubt that Jesus never left you for 1 minute. Because you'll be going, Dad, he's with me. He's with me. That one's with me. That one isn't. Oh. We wouldn't want that. I certainly wouldn't want to be the one that was pointed out to be. He's not coming in. But I thought it'd be alright when I got you, Lord. That's what I thought heaven was all about. No. You had your chance while you were on earth. Living your life. Make those changes right now. Repent and turn towards me. Turn to me and I will show you that I will never abandon you. Trust me. And see what I can do in your life. Forsake all else. And I will not let you down. In your trial, I am with you. That word that I said, no, also means to be familiar with. That you recognize it. It's because it happens all the time. Isn't that great? That you will be familiar with this. Why? Because this is what I do. And I want us to be familiar together. So that you know that the way I work. I'm not a God with a stick who's going to smack you every time you go wrong. I'm going to God that's going to love you to repentance, to turn to me. There's always going to be there for you. In other words, you know, he wants us to know the familiarity of him being around all the time. And that it's not just a one-off, just to fix you up for this week and then you can go back and you can be like yourself again. I'm alright now, God, thanks for that. I'll work the rest out myself and I'll see you later. No. Be familiar. Hey, Jesus says, I'm sticking round. And I'm sticking to you like glue. Isn't that great this morning? I'm not going anywhere. So you better get used to it. Hallelujah. Someone who was familiar with having God around is the one that we've spoken about. And that was David. He's experienced God's goodness on so many different occasions that... I got Psalm 138 written down there for some reason, and I haven't got a tab in it. Let me see. All right. Better find it then. Oh, there it is. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. There's a familiarity about that, isn't there? Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you're going to revive me. I know this because I'm familiar with it. I can speak this because I know it's going to happen. You see, it doesn't say, Lord, just take away the troubles. See, he is in the midst of the troubles. He's walking with us in the midst of the troubles. Hallelujah. Hounded by his enemies. He went through long periods. Oh, for however many years, possibly up to 16 plus years, hounded by King Saul at every opportunity where he tried to wipe him out. Running scared for his life. The enemies of Israel coming after him time and time and time and time again. You know, he had every opportunity to say, oh, I didn't ask for any of this. I was just out there tending the sheep and he come in and his guide stuck some oil on my forehead and told me I was going to be the next king. There I was in church one day and God broke through and anointed me to be the next preacher and teacher, to be the next one to witness and to do something for me. We don't stand there and go, woe is me. Oh, why am I being picked on? In the midst of troubles, not around them. Don't run away from them. Use it as an opportunity to realize and embrace this scripture. Use it as an opportunity for God to get familiar with you again and say, look, I'm with you. I am there, right by your side. Hallelujah. So often the first choice of Christians is just to, sign the trouble, is just to run. I hold my hand up to that. just want to stick my head down the hole and hope it'll all go away. And then God goes, plop, and pulls it back out again and says, no, come on, we're going to do this together. You know, you expect me to be on the mountaintop with you, do you? Yes, I do, Lord. Yeah, that's great, I love it up there. Well, then you've got to come through the valley with me also, and I'll be with you through the valley. And when we go through the valley, we're going to experience things. People will be there and to help you and guide you and lead you. Hallelujah. The God that broke through. David knew God so well that he named him as God Baal-perazim, the God of breaches, the God of breakthroughs. You want a breakthrough in your life this morning in our situation? Then you just need to turn towards God, because it is only God that can break through for you. Hallelujah. You will revive me. Your right hand will save me. I'll just try to bring this to a close now for this morning. Thank you for your patience. That your right hand speaks of the very best of God. When we look at the Bible, we see time and time again where it speaks of the right hand of God. And in Hebrews 12 and 2, we read, looking unto Jesus. Isn't that what this message has been about this morning? Turning from our old ways, looking unto Jesus, the author, listen, and finisher. I've started, so I'll finish. Of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand throne of God. Hallelujah. Sat down. Jesus himself. There is only one that saves. His name is Jesus. There is only one that can set you free. His name is Jesus. Did he not also walk through the midst of trouble? Did Jesus not walk through the midst of trouble? He didn't run away from it. Was he not in this, is he not a high priest that has empathy with us, who knows at every point and has gone through everything that we've gone through? And at Calvary, he went through the midst of the biggest trouble that he could possibly go through, and has given up his life. And he did it for us, so that we could know him. But the point then is that he knew his Father would lift him up again. He knew he would be raised up. He knew that his God was with him and restored. He was restored by the very hand that he now offers to us and says, I will save you. I will save you. That save word got so many different in the Greek. It's Yahsha. I just thought, oh, Yahsha, no. We have one the other way. Was it the other week with your way? It was similar to your way, wasn't it? Well, it's not your way, it's Yahweh. Yeah, but yes, one that's similar. But it's similar. It's deliver, preserve, rescue. Come and rescue me, Lord. We've heard that this morning through the different cries out. I want to feel safe. Yes. Yes, you will. When we turn towards God. Lord, will you defend me? Yes, I will. Lord, will you be open, but not vulnerable in the sense of freedom? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom for the Christian today. You see, because we can look at Christianity and we can look at it as a set of rules which can actually just take off the chains of sin and stick on another pair of shackles that is just constricting. That's not what God would have for us. How much better it is when a child turns to his parents, or when a child does something. Got me thinking about when I should have used that in our debate with James yesterday, really. But how much more the parent is more blessed when the child does something out of freedom, out of their own choice, rather than being told that they have to do something. There's the period of correcting and bringing up where you have to constantly tell them, but the first time that they pick up their toys and put them away in their box without being toyed, then a big smile goes on mummy and daddy's faces. They're learning. A big smile goes on God's face today when you learn to trust him and know that he's there for you. Praise the Lord. To know. And we're going to go over again just what that word knows. And then we're going to have a time of prayer and worship. The worship team could get ready, please. And I hope you've got something for you. And then know was to assuredly be aware. Are you aware of what God has promised into your life? And maybe it's just this morning and just coming through and breaking through in that wonderful place of discovery, maybe for the first time. But more than anything, why don't we get familiar with it? Because you know that's what God wants to do. It's not a job for him. It's not a labor for him. It's a love. It's a blessing that he would have us to know that how much he loves us, how much he would support us and keep us, and to make Jesus the center of our lives if we choose to invite him to be. I probably know the answer to that today. But you know, maybe it's just been a little bit of a reminder and just been a bit of encouragement for you today to know that, you know, this isn't just about Christianity, this isn't just about religion, this is about a real loving relationship with somebody that we'll never ever describe in words or put into one sermon how much that he cares and loves for us. But I will never leave you or forsake you. That's the promise of God today. And maybe the next week or the week after, sorry, they want to share some sermons for a couple of weeks running, that where we see God is in the midst, where we see it in the practical sense of everyday living, and when we're challenged to the utmost and to the core, that we see that God breaks through and does some wonderful things. So bless you, just an introduction to hopefully what I can get stuck into, and on tape now I've committed myself to doing that, so I will do that. I was just going to ask you this morning that maybe if you've been struggling with some issues and you want to hold on to that promise this morning, well, we're just worshiping and in prayer. Just stand this morning and just allow God to speak. Allow the Holy Spirit just to come in and give you that reassurance. I know you've been told it, but you know, you want these words to become real this morning. To become the truth over everything that you've been lied to in the past, about your feelings and the way you've been doing and perhaps reacting. Maybe you've responded and you've done something that you was just because you felt that way at the time. Well, now's the time to repent and say, sorry Lord, I responded like that. I didn't trust you enough this morning. Whatever it is that you feel is the right thing to do this morning, I will just leave that down to you and God to do. Thank you and God bless you for listening. Amen. You never leave us. Never leave us helpless, but rather always forever hopeful. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.